Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guests today are Victoria Fulton and Faith McLaren, co-authors of the new novel Horror Hotel. Kendare Blake, a New York Times bestselling author, wrote about the novel. Fast-paced and freaky, Horror Hotel is a fun, ripped-from-the-headlines ghost-hunting adventure, perfect for fans of true crime and people who always check underneath their hotel beds. Victoria and Faith, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your novel, Horror Hotel, how would you describe the novel?
I don't know. We're going to talk over each other occasionally. Okay. So I'm going to, I mean, the way that I would describe it, I think that, you know, it's a young adult novel. It's horror, but I call it like popcorn horror. It's a fun book. It's kind of, you know, we kind of grew up watching like things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer and, you know, reading a lot of YA. So it's a good time. It is scary in certain places, obviously. It's not, you know, it is horror. But there's four different perspectives of a kid. And there's a lot of like modern, like they have a YouTube show. And, you know, it's meant for teenagers in the digital era.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful description. I would only thing I would add is that it's definitely like meant to be read in like you almost one setting. Like it's short, it's fast, it's spooky, it's a little bit silly at times. And I think that that's what makes it a lot of fun for like summer reading and teen reading. And so if you're looking for something fast and fun, like Horror Hotel is gonna give
and
you.
And I think that like it's spooky, but there's also something there for fans of true crime as well. So
that's
one
great.
Last little button on that. Yeah.
Well, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write Horror Hotel?
Yeah, it's a funny story, actually. Faith, do you want to tell it?
Sure. So the whole sort of origin story was that there was a very well-known editor in the publishing world, and she sent out a tweet that she was looking for proposals from agented authors for young adult books in the horror, thriller, or romance space to start filling out this new sort of paperback imprint that she was leading up. And some friends sent us this tweet, like a couple of different people, not knowing that the other sent the tweet to us, saying, you guys should do this. And so Victoria and I sat down together and we were like, we should do this. And we, you know, had a very short window of time to put something together. So we just spent a couple of hours hashing out ideas, just talking through what would we do if we were going to submit a YA horror, like what is our kind of dream YA horror idea? And we just kept talking and talking until we got to the idea that we both knew was it. And that was the sort of initial pitch for Horror Hotel. And I think another part of the story that's really important is that we both are true crime fans. We both love, you know, ghost stories, but we also had both watched the Vanishing of the Cecil Hotel documentary on Netflix. Victoria was a longtime follower of the Elisa Lam story. So that definitely influenced our, it was a inspiration point for how we got to the concept of horror.
And for people who don't know the Elisa Lam story,
that's what I was about to ask you. Can you tell us that?
Yeah. So when I first moved to LA, it was like 2013 and this had just happened. So there's a very old hotel in downtown LA. And it's a beautiful historical landmark. And at the time, it was half residences for like some of the homeless population or the unhoused population in downtown LA. But it was also half a a hostel. So there was a young woman who I think she was like, I think she's was 22 at the time, or she was 22. And she was staying in the Cecil Hotel and she was trying to travel around and the country and like see all the things. And that was one of her stops. And she was staying at the Cecil Hotel and she disappeared. And there was a very disturbing final video of her in an elevator. Now we know that she was probably having an episode because she was mentally ill. But she disappeared. And then a few days later, they found her in the water tank. She had tragically ended up in a water tank and was unable to get out. And the maintenance actually found her because there was an issue with the water for the guests that were staying there. And so her story was this viral phenomenon on the internet. And I remember when it happened because I had just moved here and I found the elevator video. And I remember watching it like 100 times, like, what's going on? What is she seeing? What, you know, because she's kind of in the video. It looks like she's almost playing a game. But it's like by herself. But it seems like she's playing a game with someone else.
And it looks like she's talking to somebody as well. But there's nobody in the video. You can't see anybody.
Yeah. So it's really eerie. And I was just, you know, I know she had bipolar disorder and she was, you know, struggling with her mental health. And they've proven since then. And so that's what the Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel touches on. But the Cecil Hotel is also this like, very, you know, it's very old building. It was built in like the 1930s, right before the Great Depression. And it's just filled with like stories. There were two serial killers that lived there, that had residence there. One of them was Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's just filled with all this like dark history. And it's part, you know, part of it is because of where it's located. You know, it's in a place where there's a lot of, you know, unhoused population. It ended up during the Great Depression, they kind of ended up turning it into, you know, very low hotel rent. So you could get very cheap rent there. And so just the nature of the people that it was housing, it just has a very dark, lots of ghost stories basically. It's just a really cool landmark in general. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful hotel. It has this really interesting history. And so we just were like, you know, we chose horror because we were like, horror is one of those things in YA. It's not many people do it. It's not, you know, horror is its own thing. And it's kind of hard to write YA horror in some ways, because you can't do, you gotta tone it down a little bit
keep it
writing for teenagers who are generally under 17, you know? So we kind of like decided on horror because we were like, we thought it was going to be an easier sell. We also both have a love of horror and a love of ghost stories and all these things. So that we just kind of, we combined our love of like ghost stories and true crime. We came up with this idea and then it was crazy. We wrote in like 4 days or 5 days, we wrote the entire proposal, which was like 11 pages. And then we wrote the like 50 pages or 40 pages of the actual novel. And then we submitted it within 5 days. And then within the next week, we got the call that they made us an offer, which was an unheard of, really cool story that just kind of we love to tell because for writers, it's just so important that because both of our writers' story are because we have two books with two different publishers and both stories were very unconventional. Mm-hmm. So like with how we sort of got our book published, it wasn't the normal way. So, yeah, that's our story of how this book came to be. The idea came from an opportunity.
So I'm curious, what is the backstory? Had you collaborated before you saw this this tweet?
Yes.
Actually,
Victoria and I started collaborating on an adult rom-com that we we came up with the idea. We were both sort of like writing. We've been writing our, you know, in our separate, you know, spaces. And we were really good friends. And I had just moved to Los Angeles with my family. And, you know, kind of we were like, what, we wanted to work on a project together. We had worked on a screenplay together, which was, we had a lot of fun doing. And we decided, like, we just kind of came up with this idea of this adult rom-com that we wanted to write together called Ellie Is Cool Now. And at the time, neither of us had an agent. And so we thought it would be fun to publish the book chapter by chapter on a platform called Wattpad, which is a online kind of book publishing community where people
can upload social media.
Right.
Yeah.
Like social media.
For books. And you can upload your projects and you can get feedback on them. And, you know, you can edit them even like while you're writing them. And so we just thought it would be a really fun activity because the thing that both Victoria and I were feeling was that we had been writing for a long time and we wanted our writing to reach an audience. And sometimes in the publishing world, it can take a while for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And
we were tired of writing in a vacuum. We were writing for so long. Like, you know, both of us, it felt like a long time. I think in the scheme of things, it was not that long. You know, it's really normal for it to take a decade for people to break in. But it felt like, I don't know, like there was this yearning to have an audience. And we just put the book up chapter by chapter on Wattpad. And I will say we did have the intention of getting it published. Right. So it was pretty crazy because about 9 months after we posted the first chapter, we had won a few awards through the Wattpad platform. And then we had also gotten an offer from Hachette Book Group, which took then another 3 years to come to fruition because of some issues with, like, you know, legal. There was like all kinds of crap because of, like, you know, the you know, when you have multiple parties involved in a deal, it takes a longer time. So then Faith and I, please, we write with pen names, everyone.
We're always like, what am I?
So Faith and I actually we'd been waiting a really long time for the Wattpad Hachette deal to go through. And I think we were sort of in this, like, it was in this like limbo, and I think we were feeling a little bit like we would like to write something else together and have fun because we're just waiting for this book deal to go through. And that's when the underlined tweet by Wendy Loggia, we found that. And so then it was so fun because while we were in limbo waiting for this other book deal to go through, we got to write something else and have a completely different, because Ellie Is Cool Now is a rom-com and Horror Hotel is obviously horror.
A little bit of romance.
With some romance. But it was so fun to have, like, I think that, like, writers are really afraid of getting sort of, like, pigeonholed and then they're not going to get to write all the things they want to write. So it was so fun that we had something else completely different to work on while we were waiting for this other deal to go through.
That's
yeah,
great.
And it helped us feel like as we launched these two different, very, very different tracks in the publishing world that we're already launching with a lot of places that we can go with our writing and in our career. And that's something that because we've been at this game for a little while, it's nice to launch knowing that you have places you can go, like you have options. And And you're not going to get burnt out, it's likely with when you've got a lot of, you can write horror and you can write romance.
So I'm curious, can you describe what the co-writing process is like for you two? I'm assuming that you plot together, but in terms of the actual writing, are you sharing a Google Doc and you take turns on chapters or scenes?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You just described her probably. So like we basically, we're still trying to figure it out just like a little bit because we're writing right now our third book together because Horror Hotel is getting a sequel, Cursed Cruise. Yeah. I'm very excited. So we're actually kind of figuring out because we're still figuring out because Ellie Is Cool Now was sort of written, you know, one of us wrote it. We released it. We actually wrote it chapter by chapter over time. And so we wrote one of us wrote a chapter. The other one went through it, edited it, whatever, added their voice. And then we switched. And that was easy to do because we wrote that book over the course of 9 months. The Horror Hotel was very, very fast. And so it was kind of like just a whirlwind. And so we kind of, I would say like actually, because Faith writes a lot faster. So she wrote a lot like more of the first draft, like just she wrote, like was able to write like big chunks. So Curse of Cruz, we have a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out like what our process is in terms of, and I think I'm a numbers person, so like I was just we're literally gonna like leave this call and talk about like what is our plan for like really like getting to the end. But I'm a numbers person, so like as I was even just revising Ellie Is Cool Now, because we had a second round of edits with our editor, I would I do sort of a countdown as I'm going through the book, and so with numbers like how many pages are left or whatever, and so I think like you know. I think that what we're probably going to end up doing is doing each doing a word count and switching. So like probably you know, like 1,000, 2,000 words and then switch.
Gotcha.
I think that's going to be the easiest way for us to get this done.
I mean,
I'm curious. Do you ever disagree on a scene or a plot point?
No, we really don't, Faith. Like we have had moments where we're like, where one of us is really passionate about something within the plot, I guess. And, you know, I think that, but ultimately, like if somebody's there's usually one person who really is passionate and knows like what needs to happen. And so if it's like somebody's really passionate about it, I feel like we go with the person who's passionate about whatever that plot point is, because it's like, you seem to know something here that I don't know. So let's go with what you're doing and then we'll just figure it out. So that's kind of whoever's more passionate wins. We're both very passionate. So that does help.
But we also are very aligned in our like what we think is good, what we think it makes a story good. And so I think that also helps us in the process that we're not precious with our specific ideas, but we're very, very aligned because we both want the best idea to end up on the page. We want the best scene to end up on the page. And I think like that's actually one of my favorite parts of creating with a writing partner is like us getting to collaborate with each other on the ideas, on the how we're going to tell the story, and finding the best way to tell the story makes like the actual writing a lot more fun because you know that you're doing something really good, but it also just makes it feel less like kind of less like, am I doing the right thing? And then you have someone to bounce that off of. And so I really love that part.
It's brilliant to have a sounding board. Like you have a built-in, you know, we have as writers writing, it can be, if you're doing it by yourself, it can be kind of isolating and you can kind of get in your head pretty easily. So it's fun to have somebody when you're in your head about something to just call, and then you have your sounding board right there, and it's also the person helping you write the book.
Who's super invested in what you're doing and knows what you're doing, you know, knows why we're doing it. And I think it has made the actual like first draft, early creation of the work that we do together that much stronger. Because we're not spending a lot of time lost, and when we do get lost, we usually get back on track really quickly.
Well, I know that since I'm not seeing you, I'm not sure who mentioned it about moving to LA. Can you just tell us how did you originally meet, and what led you to saying like, oh, we should like collaborate and write something together?
Sure. So we actually met in an online writing class for young adult and middle grade authors through a platform called Media Bistro. Our teacher was a very well-known young adult author named Nova Rinsuma. Sorry. And we both it was an 8-week class, and it was all via like a message board and like chats. Like it was the old school I feel like everything's on video and Zoom now. And so back then it was like we were in a chat room together. It was weird. It's weird to think about because it wasn't really that long ago.
It's like about 8 years ago, right?
Yeah. Because that's when about 8 years ago or like maybe like 9 years ago now. But yeah, so we were in a like this group together and then we ended up, I feel like Faith and I feel like we sort of like yelled at each other a little bit, not like in a bad way, but like we both were like, because you were very like, you need better world building. And I was like, you need better dialogue. And like, and we were both like, kind of like, I don't know. We were both spitfires a little bit. And I think we liked that about each other because I love I love somebody who challenges me. And I think Faith does too. So we both like kind of connected on like enjoying that challenge as, you know, as writers. And so then we kind of took our friendship to Twitter and Facebook. And so we started like Facebook messaging a lot. And at the time I had during the Media Bistro class, I had just moved to LA. Alex had just moved to LA and from Ohio. And so I was in the middle of the move and then I was here. And then as, you know, Faith was in Texas. And so, you know, as our friendship sort of grew and developed, Faith had always wanted to move to LA as well. Mm-hmm. So, but you had a whole family to move there. I did not. So she was a couple years behind me and she ended up moving here too. And, but before that, I think we had started to write some, like, do some screenwriting. Nice. We both also have interest in screenwriting as well as writing novels. So we started writing some screenplays together and then ended up, we both had this yearning to write books because the thing about screenwriting that's difficult is that, you know, it's a lot more difficult to get whatever you're writing on the screen in some ways. So a book is a lot easier to get published. It's still hard to get published, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
but it's much harder to get a movie made. So we were like, we really wanted our original stories out in the world. And it's really hard to do a screenwriting. You know, you end up writing for somebody else usually before you end up writing your, if you ever get to write your own stuff, you get, have to write for other people's ideas first. And that's not really what we wanted. So we were like, let's do books. And so that's when we decided to do Ellie.
That's great. What? And so are you still working on screenplays as well?
We have a screenplay that has been about 3 years in the making. we love that. But we were like, literally, though, we were like, I think we want to write this as a novella first. Or like something like, you know, because it's, you know, it's hard to. It's almost impossible for me now to write in a vacuum and not feel like I have a way of getting this made. So I feel like Faith is the same way a little bit, like where it's just really like dragging our feet. Like I don't know if I can say, but like it's dragging butt too.
Well, and we also
to get something out.
Yeah.
We also have been under deadline. So for book stuff, which is a wonderful, a development and problem to have, I guess. But so that does take up a lot of space and time from screenwriting and from pursuing, because when you're on contract and you're in the deadline, it's like that's what you're focusing on. And until you get out of, you know, onto the next thing. And so I think that it's definitely always in the back of our minds. We're always sort of thinking about new ideas. What is the right medium for this? But I think, I think Victoria said it really well. It's like, but at the end of the day, we're like, we still would like to see this made or produced or have readers or an audience. And, you know, that's where we end up thinking sometimes we should write a novella or sometimes we should do some short stories, you know, because that's, you know, just what we want at the end of the day.
I think when we figure out a way to maybe make our own thing, to like actually produce our own screenwriting somehow, like whether it's a web series or something else, I feel like screenwriting is in our future. I just don't know how it's going to pan out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How's it going to come about?
Yes. Until you get that development deal at Netflix or somewhere.
Oh my God. Listen.
Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are maybe where you were 8 years ago and taking that Media Bistro class and are starting to write and work on their own stories or novels?
Oh, I love this. Like the way you phrase that question is so beautiful. Okay. I have to think about this. Faith, you have something. I feel like you're the teacher.
I'm the teacher. I mean, my always thing with budding writers, I like to call, you know, writers at that stage, budding authors, because, you know, you're a writer, no matter if you're published or not. And I think you're also like, if you have the desire to write, then you are a writer. And so I think first piece of advice is to think of yourself as a writer, think of yourself as an author in waiting. Take your development of your craft really seriously. And whatever that looks like for you, that doesn't mean that you take a bunch of classes. It doesn't mean that you write every day. But I think one of the things that when I look back at myself over the journey that I took to get where I am right now, the one piece of advice I would give myself is find out who you are as a writer and who you really want to be as a creative first. And before you let in other voices of what your career should look like, what your day-to-day writing process should look like, really think about what kind of books you want to put in the world and what kind of what you want your creative life to look like. Because even when you are selling books and making money and it becomes a career and it's that does change the dynamic of creating. But if you know yourself and you know what kind of writer you are, you have a really strong feeling of why you're doing it, what makes you happy in the process and what makes you feel frustrated, then it's a lot easier to keep going.
And I have my little, that's great, Faith. I have my little piece of advice that I just thought of. So that time is so special. But I think that a lot of people get a lot of advice at that time. And I think that, you know, you have to be careful sort of like what advice you take in, because I think some of it can be really empowering. Some of it can be stifling, depending on, you know, sometimes people get advice from people who are in places of fear around their writing, especially if they're teaching writing sometimes and not really like actually writing. So it just depends. But my biggest thing is, so at that time, you know, you hear a lot of write what you know. And so I really just want to be clear with new authors that write what you know does not mean write your life story or like write something from your life that's happened. It means take something that you know. So like there's micro versions of this and there's macro versions of this. You might have had an experience or your own fantasy that like of something that you're writing or that you want to write about. Put it in a sci-fi world or put it in a, put it in a world with high stakes of some kind. You don't necessarily have to write that event exactly as it happened, right? And then also write what you know means taking people and personalities and that you've met and things that are like little experiences that have happened to you and putting them, we all have like, you know, stranger than fiction stories from our lives. So I think taking those little moments and those people and whatever and putting them into your story versus, again, trying to actually write, you know, like, I don't know, about college, like, you know, or something like that. So I think everybody just needs to remember that writing what you know does not mean actually writing an event of your life. It means taking those things and throwing them into a world of your own creation.
Yeah, that's really good. And also finding inspiration from the things around you that are making you excited or interested or engaged with your life or the world. Like, I love that about like the fantasy of the inspiration coming from things around you.
Sure. Well, what books have you two read recently that you enjoyed?
Oh my goodness. Hold on.
Because, I know, well, I have to like check my Kindle.
I'm like, I just read a book by some friends of mine who it's an adult romance, but it's not coming out until next year. So, but next year you can read it. It's called Do I Know You? And I loved it. What else am I reading? I'm currently reading, so I haven't finished it, but it's also an adult romance. It's called A Thousand Miles, and it's by Bridget Morrissey.
There's a graphic novel series that was, I often read from the things that I watch. There was a show on Netflix recently called Heartstopper, and, Alice Oseman is the creator, and she also has a graphic novel series. And I really love this graphic novel series called Heartstopper. It's like a teen.
I need to read
teen,
that.
Yeah, it's a teen like gay romance. I just really love it. And then, I actually read a lot of nonfiction as well. Nonfiction, like personal growth, spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I really like, there's a writer that I love, Michael A. Singer, and he writes a lot of spiritual books. And so I'm also reading this book called Living Untethered that I really love. So
interesting. So where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about your novel, Horror Hotels?
Our Instagram is probably the best way to find us. It's where we're most active. We love our Instagram. We're running it. We interact with our readers on there. And it's, the handle is VictoriaXFaith.
Great.
Well, and we're on Twitter too, but we don't do much on Twitter. So I just want to throw it out there that we are there. We are there. Okay. There. We will eventually find you.
Right. Well, again, we've been speaking with Victoria Fulton and Faith McLaren, co-authors of the new novel Horror Hotel. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Victoria and Faith, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you for having
us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this has been great.
Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.